everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. I'm incredibly blessed and fortunate to have my friend Albie Voss join us today. And I will tell you, I'm really excited about today's conversation. Right? Albie and I, we go back a number of years, and I can literally tell you that I have not seen anybody build relationships like this guy when it comes from peer-to-peer, referral-based business and leveraging the relationships of other agents around not just the country, around the world, like he does from his home base in Las Vegas. So, Albie, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a show, right? Is that what we're
calling
it?
Every show, podcast, you know, we're all about whatever it needs to be, right? We've got reels, we got video, we got audio. We get the whole kit and caboodle with us. Well, listen.
That's fantastic. I love it. Thank you.
Give everybody a little bit of a background about you, right? And then how did that whole mindset of going, hey, obviously we build real estate businesses, but there's all another side of that, right? But where did you start to find your niche and saying, you know what, I need to focus as much attention onto my network of agents versus just my network here in Vegas and Summerlin?
All right. So we'll go way back. So I've been in the business for 15 years, almost going on 16. Yes, I do look young, but I'm actually old. So it all stems from 2009. I believe it was early 2009. I had just joined Keller Williams and I got a productivity coach because nobody taught me anything at my previous brokerage. I was only there for like 8 months, 9 months, and nobody taught me anything. So I'm there with my productivity coach, and she asked me this simple question. Facebook was brand new. She asked me, what are you doing with Facebook? And I said, that is a good question. I technically only put my drinking pictures on the strip, and that's it. And she goes, is that an effective way of using Facebook? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, this is all I know. It's new. What should I do with it? And she goes, maybe you should use it for real estate. And I said, why? I don't have any listings. You know, in 2009, things are going crazy, you know? And she said, connect with other agents. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, but why would I want to be friends with other agents? And she goes, you can spread yourself out. Anytime somebody thinks of Las Vegas, they would think of you. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. That concept seems kind of weird, but I will do it as a task. And then what I did was I got on Facebook. This is 2009. And I started looking for agents across the United States.
Yeah, well, take that, right? So Facebook started in what, 2007 is really when it started to get really, really momentum. So you were early in from this capacity.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because we were all on this thing called MySpace. So MySpace was around. And so that's what it was. And then to make myself kind of step, you know, something a little different than everyone else, you know, because referrals were always there. And the way we did referrals at Keller Williams was, one team lead would call another team lead and say, hey, who's on your ALC? We have a referral for Vegas. And then it would be given to the next person in line, just wrote through. Because that's how we did it for the olden days.
Okay.
But now, and starting back then, was people were putting it on Facebook. I'm like, hey, I need an agent in Vegas. I need an agent in Virginia. I need an agent in these other spots. So then that's where this whole thing was like, all right, let's try to see where we could try to grow our business, because you still have your sphere and you do have a local, you know, presence, but referrals are for people that you have never met and you would never have ever met and be able to do a transaction with them. So that's why there is a referral fee associated with that. So that's how it all transpired from there. But it just started out as something different. And then it came about, and also because what my productivity coach was a runner. She was a marathon person. So then what could we offer besides 25%? So we came up with that 26.2% referral.
Wow.
And that's how we marketed it. We grew it, because that extra 1.2% isn't really going to kill the bottom line. So, and it was something different, and Bold picked it up and they started using it and everybody started using it. I'm like, no. Luckily, Twitter, I had posted it, I believe in 2010, saying, you know, and it was something where we were doing an automated to be able to put it out there. And I say, hey, look, I was the guy who came up with it, and we came up with it with this. So that's how it all started.
Well, that's, you got to start with an idea. And there's the uniqueness and fun with numbers, right? So I love that she collaborated with you, right? And recognized that here's this new vehicle, this new media of Facebook and you have the ability to outreach. But how did that grow for you? Because, I mean, Facebook at the time, not everybody was using it. It was a fad, right? It was, you know, people like, but so how did that start? You just started kind of searching through. What is that? How does that look?
Yeah, absolutely. So I couldn't remember back in the olden days if it was something where we could actually see other people's friends list back then, because it's evolved ever since then.
Right.
But it was something where I'm like, all right, so that person was from, let's call it like Charlotte, you know, somebody from that area, see who they are and be able to see who their friends were. So it was people from other offices out there. And at first it was all Keller Williams. I believe it was all Keller Williams till probably 14 or 15. And, you know, I was like, all right, I only want to do business with people with Keller Williams because A, I carry a name through there. So let me tell you how this whole transpired to something pretty large is. So my OP, the owner of my Keller Williams office in Las Vegas, she was around when Mega Camp was only 400 people and they were in a small little room. So she's been around forever. So on my first family reunion, we're walking down the halls and she's like, all right, you know, you got to meet everyone, you know, tell them you're from Vegas and all this, you know, because relationships matter. I'm like, absolutely, I'm ready to go. And then out of this side door comes Jay Papasan. And then Jay looks at me and he's like, Albie. And I'm like, Jay. So gives me a big hug, hands his phone to my OP. And he's like, take our picture. And we take our picture together. Then I'm like, hey, Jay, this is my OP. And he's like, hi, nice meeting you. I got to go. So he just runs and she goes, how do you know him? I said through social media. And it was really funny. So I thought that was a really good story, you know, just early on to just, you know, I was just a nobody. And then, you know, Jay's coming out of nowhere to say hello. And that's how social media is, you know, could be very important. It's a, I always say to everybody, it's a digital version of yourself. So there's a lot of extra stuff associated with that as well.
Yeah, right. But that becomes a personality of yours, right? Whether it's an alternate ego or who you are, either way, you've become. But you're right. Like, I mean, we've known each other, I guess, over 10 years now, too. But you see that interaction, right? And back then, that was unique. The selfie, right? The pictures with everybody.
Correct.
The showing up and like, hey, I bumped in. And for a long time, it was like there was all these pictures of Albie online at all our major events. But you became that guy, right? Through your outreach
deliberateness
and using the platform, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah. So I started gaining this whole momentum stuff. And it was really good. It was like, you know, so whatever personality that you had online was associated with being met in real person. So like, and also another thing too, is like when I go to these large events, cause it was at first, it was only Keller Williams. So you had the Mega Camp and then you had the family reunions. So early on, we were able to create groups in the early days of Facebook. So, and I had gone to an event where I saw one of our, you know, fearless leaders at a non-KW event and he was by himself. And usually at KW, a million people are all over him, but nobody knew who he was. I knew who he was. So I went and hung out with him. And I said, I don't want anyone to ever have that feeling. So at the next event, I created a meet in real life. So Mega Camp was one of the ones where I'm like, hey, if you need anything or want to, you know, get lunch or meet up, here it's called. So it was called Meet Up in Real Life. So Okay. That was just a group that I added everyone who wanted to be part of it. So people could go to different things. So nobody's going to get barbecue by themselves. You know, it's because I feel like, it's something where you can network together and be able to say, hey, you know what? I don't know you, but I do want to know you and get to know. So then you could say, not everyone you meet is going to be a perfect match. I'm like, all right, my client would be perfect for you or my personality matches for you. So it just, you just don't know that until you meet somebody face to face and then you determine, I'm like, all right, that's somebody really cool.
There's this build upon aspect, right, that you recognized early on and you can hear it starting to kind of come through you in your relationship. But you recognize this isn't just like, hey, I'm looking to gather all these referrals, right, and I'm just going to knock these down. But you truly looked at it, embraced it as like, this is the relationship, right? We talk about it all the time with how do we become like a generational realtor for our consumers, right? But you've now approached it like, hey, I'm the generational relationship guy for all my agents, right? And you've taken that to a whole nother level on the relationship world from social, right, and talking to now meetups to, right? So what do we have now? We've got Albiepalooza.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But technically, we don't talk about it. That's So I'll give you, I guess, a little insight on that part is, so I had gone to an event. I'm not going to say the city because then people would kind of figure it out. And I kind of, so I went and I paid, I think, $50, and it went to KW Cares. And so that's our charitable part of Keller Williams. So I paid my $50, and then I saw the host who put it all together. And I asked that person, I said, can I get a receipt? Because I kind of need a tax, you know, something for my taxes. And he goes, oh, no, it's fine. You know, and I said, well, he said, long as it was under $200 or $250, whatever it is, I don't need a receipt. I'm like, I don't know, but I kind of need one. But then he said, then I asked him, I said, but it didn't go directly to KW Cares, right? He goes, I mean, where'd it go? And he goes, actually, it comes to me, and I collect all the money and send it to KW Cares. And I said, oh, that I didn't know. I'm like, wait, do you get the full tax benefits of the $10,000 that has been donated? He goes, absolutely. I put this on. I said, oh, I don't like that one bit. So this whole thing was like, all right, if KW ever has a large event in Las Vegas, I'm going to host a private party where it's invite only and it's super exclusive and you cannot get in and it's free. Because when you go to these large events now, everyone's throwing a party. Everyone's throwing a party. And it's like, it used to be like $20, $30, $50. Now it's $100, $180. Yeah. I'm like, on top of the, you know, $1,000, you know, event fee and hotels, you know, not spending extra money on that kind of stuff. So, so that's where I came up with this concept to like, all right, if it ever comes to Vegas, this is what I'm going to do. So then it did come to Vegas. I'm like, oh, now I really got to figure out what I'm doing. And I didn't know anything about event planning. So luckily, the first person I went to, she guided me through this whole system on how to create this party and then make it exclusive. And even if people try to pay to get in, you don't let them in. So make it so VIP that people are honored to be there.
Excellent. But it's that another level of the relationship, right? You now have a history with people. Right. People that you're still connecting with people as you're meeting new people online. There's a turn of people, but that relationship, that's at the core of everything that's happening.
No, absolutely. So, you know, it's just to be, I guess, I don't want to say in front of people, but it's to be on top of mind of as many people as possible and have good, solid relationships on these things. It's something that you really can't. You know, you can't put a price on or any value to it. So, and it's like one of our people that we had in Seattle, one of my clients had a boyfriend that needed to buy something up there. I send a text message and she goes, I'll handle it. And, you know, 2 months later, I get a referral check and I'm like, all right, that sounds good. I just needed to send over a W-9. There was no referral agreement. It was just known that that's the kind of relationship you could have with people.
Yeah. And here's the other side of it is that, you know, because there is big money in referrals, right? And so that we see a lot of those different groups that are online and how they're handled and not handled. And just the way that you've been above board with everything, right, I think says a lot about who you are as an individual and how you manage those relationships, right? That's the thing, right? Because we have all those people.
No, absolutely. So yeah, and it's a double-edged sword too. So I have been around for so long that it's just, you know, through pure organically that I have grown and so many people know me. So it's gone organically, but now you have a situation, I believe it started in 2016, 17, where people have formed like super groups. And they call them the cheerleaders or whatever it is. And I feel like I do have a cheerleading group, but those have been organically, you know, driven. So they have put themselves into these mafias and it is pretty tough out there. And there's so many things behind the scenes that they're doing now that just like, it's crazy. It's hard to compete with them, but where we're really winning is we're really winning on the backside where the referrals that don't make it to like Facebook or right. Don't make it to anywhere else. It's just the inner office referrals or like, hey, I need somebody in Vegas. Who do you know? I'm like, oh, hey, my guy Albie's there. He's super awesome.
You know, and you're right. So
sometimes you lose it.
We see them all the time, right? Hey, who do you know here? Who do you know there? And the great thing about it is, right, come from the experience yourself, right? There are the people that are the cheerleaders, right? But now come from like, who do you know? Who have you worked with, right? Who have you sent things to, right? That's value, right? That's not the loudest person in the room. It's the experienced person in the room.
Correct. No, absolutely. So there's that aspect too. But let me go back to the whole cheerleading group. So let's say a normal person closes about 80% of the referrals. There's always going to be 20% that never close. I'm like, oh, I didn't really like Vegas because it's too expensive or it's too hot. So you're always going to get those. So then, you know, let's say 80 is a standard. But then if you get somebody who is winning all those referrals and they're closing them at like 50% versus an 80%, because the pure volume of them, they stand out like a champ. You know, it's of course you see that across other cities across the nation. It's just there's so much influx of referrals and they're winning so many, but in behind the scenes, they're not really winning at that level of closing on them. So, you know, anytime I don't win a referral, I let that agent know if they send it out to someone else. I'm like, hey, I'm a great second chance referral. So what does that mean? I said, hey, if it doesn't work through the first person, I am the great guy to get it done the second time.
Talk to me a little bit. So obviously, now that you're an entity, people know who you are, and you get a lot of those referrals, right? But that's still in itself, that's a business, right? That's a whole other channel for you for where things are coming from. What is that relationship, right? How does that communication happen, right, from a follow-up standpoint? How are you communicating with the originating source, like letting them know that their people are being taken care of? Because I think that's incredibly important.
So there's, yeah, no, absolutely. And that's pretty key too. So there's a multitude of different situations that we come across. So first of all, when we get the referral, then if we know who you are, you know, we're going to say, hey, how do you want the communication? Do you just want a check at the end? Do you want weekly updates, daily updates, or each situational update? What do you want? And everyone's different. And I'm super open to be able to give everyone whenever we can. So that's super cool on that part. So like today, we had listed one yesterday for somebody in the Raleigh area. And we're going under contract. So I called him up and said, hey, man, we're going under contract. We could do a highest and best, but this one's our best bet. If we didn't have problems with the renter not letting people in, I would say let's wait. But I had to deny six people today. So let's go that way. So, you know, he's just like, hey, give me those situational parts of what's the next step? Where are we going? You know, is it going to go past appraisal? Because he's contingent on me to make sure this house sells before he can close on the house over there. So those are situational. Other people is like, I don't really care. Just send me a check.
Sure. No problem. I like that you're open.
Just send me a check. I don't care.
Because at that aspect, right, their clients are consumers too, right? And everybody has a different personality. Everybody wants to be communicated differently.
Absolutely. You know, and some people are like, hey, just send me a text message. You know, never call me. I'm like, okay, it sounds good to me. We'll put that in, you know, on our notes.
Now, a lot has changed since 2009, early days of Facebook, right? So how have you continued to adapt to the technology and the outreach, right? And to the next generation of real estate agents that are coming out? How are you staying relevant and present with them?
Right. So, you know, we always use that word top of mind stuff. So that's always been something that's been around. So you have to be able to adapt to what Facebook and other social media is doing. So Facebook, they have this thing called edge ranking. So edge ranking is pretty much like, all right, if you post something, let's say you post like, how are you doing today? Or what's on your menu today? It gives it a ranking. I'm like, all right, I'm only going to show this to like 10, 20 people and you're not going to get a lot of action out of it. And then they move to like giving different values to like videos. I'm like, oh, I'm going to show it to 200 people. And if it does well, I'll keep expanding it till it goes there. And then you got Reels. And Reels be able to grow that out there. So all these different things are always ever changing through the algorithm, right? So it's called edge ranking. I don't know if they still use that word edge ranking with it, but that's typically how it works out. So, and same thing with TikTok too. So TikTok is another frontier that that's coming around too. Government could be shutting it down. I heard something about being in the bill today. So we shall see. And right when I hit 1.4 million views in 7 days, you know, then they're going to cut it off. So that's what I get for being a late adopter on that. So so some of the cool things that I do, and it's more subliminal where you don't know that I'm actually doing those things, is something that I can relate to Las Vegas. And I post it in there and it has nothing to do with real estate. So whenever you see something like that, you think of automatically, oh, that's Albie. I see this in Vegas. Like one of the cool things is every once in a while I'll post a supercar. And in my area, everyone has a supercar except for me. I'm the only guy that doesn't have one. So in other areas, like you just won't see one for like 2 or 3 months. And you see one, I'm like, ah, you know, like I like like Nick Baldwin, where he lives, when he sees one, he texts me and he goes, look at this. And I said, I get you, dude. I'm going to send you one too. So those are like some of the small things. And then I'm like, all right, well, that's more of appealing to, you know, the male side, right? So how do I break into the women's side on this? I'm like, how do I get to maybe the more fashionable side, right? Okay. So I started posting shoes that I would see when I go shopping. You know, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm shopping for my wife. And then I see something. I'm like, there's no reason why that shoe needs to be $1,200. But I'll take a picture of it and I'll say, hey, what do you think it costs? And then people throw all their random guesses. And the same thing with, you know, like purses and other items like that. So they're not real estate related. They're just something that makes you think of Las Vegas. And then now that we have so many sports teams, now I adopted those sports teams into the mix.
You know, and I've watched your communication on a lot of those things, right? You're right. Like, I know things about you because you share a lot about yourself, right? And your family, from the cars to the houses to what's this cost, right? To your newly found passion for hockey, right? And there's overlap now because you have such an audience, real estate agents from an engagement, but then those things overlap on the consumer side too. So now you're killing two birds with one stone. Correct.
No, absolutely. So I'm trying to touch a niche market and then also not alienating anyone else associated with that. And it just doesn't, I guess I can go into full detail on the other parts too, is so that's on my public facing Facebook, right? So before there was people like, oh, you should have a business one. You should have a, you know, a regular person one. I'm like, no, that doesn't really make sense because business one, I'm like, who am I really following? I'm like, it's just pictures that you're just posting of your listings. That doesn't make sense. I kind of need to see the real person, business, regular related, all that thrown together. So on that front is I'm like, all right, how do I get into my niche without really causing any kind of extra movement inside of my regular one? So I've joined these groups. So I cycle, I mountain bike and I road bike. I don't really road bike a lot because I am not the size of a road biker. A typical road biker is about 150 pounds, and that is technically my left leg. But in gravity racing and mountain biking, it is all downhill, so gravity and weight helps out a lot. So that's a win-win over there.
I would say,
but this Saturday,
downhill.
Downhill, I'm really good. So Saturday, I am going to be in the Tour of Summerlin. So that is about 800 cyclists that'll be riding a 40-mile loop in Summerlin. So super cool. And I'm like, all right, so how do I take advantage of that? So I'm in different groups that are associated with cycling. So I'll do cycling where so one of the groups is I Love Cycling. That's one of the road bike ones. Is I rode my bike to one of my listings. I grabbed my lockbox, took a picture. And then other people were like, hey, that's super cool. I'm in real estate too, or I'm in the market. So to be able to grab something like that is super cool. And I did this on my mountain bike one because mountain bikes are not cheap. They're pretty expensive. So I think the average bike has got to be $4,000 to $5,000. Most of them are in that $6,000 to $8,000 mark. Oh, yeah. So I taught a social media class the Silicon area up in San Jose, I had posted in that group. I said, what do you guys do for work? And then by the time I got to my class, there was over 300 comments. And I started looking, I'm like, this guy's like plastic surgeon. This guy's a neurologist and all these other random stuff in there. And I'm like, oh man, this makes sense. And I'm like, all right, now this is something like, oh, okay, let me see if I can interact with these people somehow without looking like I'm approaching them for real estate, be able to give them something. And I did put a picture of my bike under this brand new development. And I said, oh, it's like, this is beautiful to ride to work. Do you guys ride to work? Something like that to get some interaction. And people were like, oh, is that your house? I'm like, no, but I wish it could be yours. So just stuff like that on the back end. And that's super niche market. And like in the class I said, I'm like, look, pick a niche that you're really good at, really sharp at, but you cannot fake the funk when you are inside that niche because people will know automatically. You know, it's a lot of times like I see people that are cycling. And I'm like, hey, I was like, what kind of pressure are you running in your tires? And then I'll know. And I'm like, oh, so obviously you're just like an average guy, which is totally fine. But, you know, enthusiasm is going to tell you because – and that happened last Saturday where I rode out to Blue Diamond, which is about 15, 16 miles away, but it's all uphill. And then we have a bike shop there. They do rentals and stuff because it's beautiful in the Red Rocks. And the guy asked me, he goes, hey, what kind of pressure are you running? I said, 72. You know, as a question to see a bigger guy riding a road bike, is he just riding it because I'm a dentist or something? Why does he got a fancy bike and why is he riding? So, you know, to be able to answer that question right away, I run at 72.
I love
and
that.
Like, oh, and, okay, that's cool.
And I think even as skilled as a lot of people have gotten social media and influencers, right? I hate that terminology, right?
Yes.
I don't look at you as an influencer, right? You are an organic influencer because you're real about what you're doing and what your passions are. So you lead with your passions and your hobbies, right? And then it grows from there. You haven't necessarily identified something because there's, oh, I can take advantage of that. You're just building from the heart out, right? And that really reflects who you are through social media. And I think that's an incredibly important thing for people to understand about, hey, how do I do this well? You do it well by being yourself.
No, absolutely. And there's a lot of extra stuff that I could do to exploit, like, because I live in a city that's so magical, so different than anywhere else in the world. And if I wasn't doing real estate, I would be that guy to just be the, you know, social media influencer. And I think I would do really well because there's so many different things in this city where I'm like, it's so magical and different. And, you know, I do try to incorporate some of the little stuff into it, but I don't want to be heavy into it because that's not going to be my real audience.
And that's the thing. And I kind of wanted to go there. And it's like if you're talking, and I'm sure people come up to you all the time and people ask you how, but like, if you were saying, hey, I'm just starting out, whether I'm new to the business or not, but like, hey, I really want to expand and get to know other people, right? How would you kind of give somebody advice and say, if you're really going to do this, you're going to do this well, how do I start? Where do I go first?
No, absolutely. And I just gave this advice to my friend the other day. So she said, hey, the market's really struggling for me. What do I do? It kind of feels like everyone I know has 10 other agents they know in my city. And I said, hey, you know what you could do is, you know, you can get on your Facebook and start looking for like other agents in other cities. She goes, what does that mean? I'm like, yeah, you can look to them and see what they're doing. Maybe bring something where there's a presence. Hey, maybe that could be a referral partner, get to know them. And then you start bringing your branch out and you can start up just from scratch. The roadmaps are already there and be able to go the way you go from zero to like 100 is a lot faster than me not understanding how things work and how you can grow, because we don't know what's possible in 2010 and 9. Now everything is possible. So that's one of the things. And I think outside of growing your referral network and just growing your network in general, it comes down to the people. So you could have somebody, I'm like, hey, that person's always online, but then this person calls me. Hey, that's more important that somebody reached out to me. Like today, I wished two people happy birthday. I physically called them. They didn't answer. I left a happy birthday song on there. Then I recorded it and then sent it through their iMessage. If you're thinking iMessage, that is all iPhone. You should be on an iPhone too. That is my thought process.
My Joe, my partner who's not with us today, will appreciate your sentiment because I deliberately do not do this because I love the pain that I caused in my green bubbles. That's my thing.
Exactly. We can have 15 agents and then, you know, that one guy ruins it for everyone. But that's all going away soon. We're all going to be one happy family soon. So they're getting rid of the green bubble guy. So, you know, we'll all be, and then something else will come up and then we'll be screwed again.
Because of that thing, like, I own that. Like, I hear that more and more through the conversation. I'm like, oh, you're the green bubble guy. And I'm like, yep, that's me. And there was no real reason for it. It's just because people should get so upset by it. I'm like, yeah. Even my kids, they yell at me all the time because they're on Apples. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sticking with my Droid. Sticking with my Samsung.
Now it's all ego-driven, man. Exactly what it is. I own stock in both, so I'm like, you know, I don't really care on that part, but that's how it is. Yeah, exactly. So and let me add more. I guess I don't know if your question is going to be on that. So one of the cool things is I take a lot of things offline. So instead of being like on the social, like on Facebook or on Instagram and can't say Twitter X, I guess what it is, is to be able to text people in groups. And I have groups of people that are, hey, these are all common people in certain areas. Like, I'm not a Raider fan, but I do have season tickets. So I have a Raider group that I interact with them a lot. And then, you know, I gave out a referral the other day to one of them. And So yeah, be able to have like these niche groups. I have another group. I'm like, hey, we've been around from the beginning of Keller Williams. People have jumped off and went to different directions, but we're all still one cool group together. So those group texts is in there. And then one of the cool things that I do too is I try to call two or three agents when I'm driving to show. Like if I'm going to a property and it's a 30 minutes away, I try to reach out to different agents just to see A, how they're doing. B is how is their market going? And see, now we ask them like, hey, what do you do with this NER stuff now? So those are the things that now that I ask. And everyone's willing to talk to you about something, especially right. if you ask them how their market is and then do all those things. And I guess I'll add on one more thing to that was during the COVID time, because I'm like, all right, I'm not seeing anyone, right? So I don't want people to forget me. Then I also want to check and see how people are doing. I started calling a lot of agents because I wasn't out showing. I just want to see how people were doing. Reach out to them. And then once they opened things up in my area, I was able to go out and show, and I'm still calling all these people. I got so many tips and ideas that I'm like, oh my goodness, these are tips that are helping me win. And then I was regurgitating those tips back to other agents. I said, hey, what is your big win? How are you winning when there's no inventory in 2021? There was no inventory. How are you winning? They're like, oh, we're doing this. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, good. We can't waive those things here because it's just not, it's not common. So what other things can we do? So be able to figure out all those different items that we could do. And then we were victorious in 2021. Now we actually got to put real skills back to what we're doing now.
Well, it's similar but different, right? We're still have some areas incredibly short, still an incredibly amount of shortage, but rates are through the roof, right? So we have that other can to deal with, right? And a lot of the unknowns going on. But the market is hot. In a lot of places, right? And you're in a destination location, which is always a desirable location. Some of us have that, some of us don't. But listen, Albie, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. It means a lot. And you've shared your experience with everybody. And I hope those that are listening, right, it's never too late to start, right? And I want everybody here, like, there's a lot of other technologies out there, but you keep referencing Facebook. That's not going away, right? I still think that globally is probably still the easiest thing to use. And the amount of information and the audiences that you get in front of is vast, right? But you're constantly looking at newer technologies, like you mentioned, TikTok and Instagram. They'll keep coming, but this is the gift that keeps giving.
Absolutely. Especially like Google and Bing, you know, like not everybody's searching on Bing. It's available, but everyone just searches on Google.
Right. Well, listen, and you know what, Albie, I mean, with this, we'll have to get the Albie Roadshow. We'll have to look at maybe getting you on the East Coast, right? You can come visit us in D.C., see what that looks like here for you, right? Get you out of that summer summer sun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I am heading to the ASU area, Tempe. I'll be teaching a ChatGPT class for real estate agents next month. So super excited. It's one of the cool things. And I've taught that class like 10, 12 times already. And I need to get back on the road show because it was once a month I would travel to a different city. Basically, if you have a professional team, I am coming to your area and I'm going to catch a game.
All right. Hey, well, doors always open here in the DC metropolitan area for you, buddy. I appreciate your time and I'll see you at the next big event.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Entrepreneur Impact, and we'll see you next Wednesday.